Happy New Year. It's good to see you all, and after a short jaunt up north to see the grandkids, hope you had a great New Year's. Watched last week's service and appreciate Grace and Aaron and all the others that participated to make that happen last week. And good to, just again, nice to be able to get out of town and not have to worry too much about how things go, right? It's we got great people here that can do a great thing. Not that what I do is difficult, actually. It's pretty easy. It's good. God's good. But it's great to be with you. I'm excited about this new year and excited about what God has in store for me and my family personally, but also for us as a church family and how the Lord's going to lead and continue to guide us. And I appreciate as well President Stumbo of the Alliance, who we got to see in the video just a bit ago, and his vision for leading the Alliance into these 40 days of prayer to start each year. He's done that since basically 2021 was the first time that we launched that as a denomination, and have enjoyed being able to participate with the broader Alliance family. And some of us today, the denominations don't make that big of a difference. And it's just kind of like, oh, this is the church I go to. But I think it's important for us to recognize that we are a part of a broader family of believers. And as a result, that broader family, that broader perspective dictates kind of who we are, or at least I feel like it should, and who we are as a church. And we each have our own identity in Trinity Alliance, as Pastor Jesse was mentioning earlier. We're a church that's really focused on an intimate relationship with Jesus. But in the bigger scheme of things, as the Alliance, part of that vision has to fit in with the overall vision, which is to bring, the gospel message to the world, right? And to share the love of Jesus, to join Jesus in building his kingdom. And so I appreciate opportunities like this where we as an Alliance family can come together and as we go through these devotionals, matter of fact, there's a couple of printed ones still left in the fellowship hall if you'd like to have a printed copy of those devotions. They're daily devotions that start today. And so if you haven't grabbed one, you can do that today. It starts with January 5th. And then it's going to go for the next 40 days of, as we begin this new year. And they fit within the themes that we'll be mentioning on Sunday mornings and the sermon series that we'll be doing. And so encourage you to participate in that way. Those devotions can also be found on our website, tacreading.info, under the What's Happening tab. There's a 40 days of prayer link there that you can click on, and that gives you the devotion that you can download in a PDF form if you'd like. And also there's a link there. The Alliance is doing a Zoom prayer meeting every Wednesday. And so if you would like to participate in that, there's a link there that you can sign up to get those Zoom links, so that you can join those on Wednesdays. I just encourage you to participate in some way, at least doing the devotions. If nothing else, when you show up on Sundays, I'm going to be preaching through the 40 days of prayer themes, and so you can participate at least in that way, or forced to participate in that way, if you will, for some of you. But so God is good, and I appreciate to be a part of an Alliance family that has this vision and perspective. It really is an opportunity for us, to be united together as well. I think about if those of us who are going to do this devotion, daily devotional over the next 40 days, we are going to be reading the same verses. We're going to be thinking about the same concepts. We're going to be confronted in some way with the same truths each day, right? And there's something about that that can be powerful and beautiful and good, right? As a community, as we work together, we saw a little bit of this on the 21 days of fasting that we did of seek back. Back in October and November, again, we had a devotional every day, and those who did it, it kind of brought us together as a community, and so I hope this 40 days will do the same. The first attribute of God that we're going to be looking at today is holiness. Holiness is often viewed as an attribute that separates God from his people. It is God's holiness that elicits fear in the hearts of men and women. Throughout history, those who've encountered the holiness of God respond by flinging themselves to the floor. Confronted with the overwhelming grandness of the presence of God, we fall helpless to the ground in terror. Seeing something so far beyond comprehension and without the proper adjectives to describe the scene, we are struck dumb and our eyes crust over from the shock. These are the things, these are the real life accounts of people in Scripture, people throughout history who have encountered the holiness of God. Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on those thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." While certainly the awesome holiness of God should make us tremble, and while it reveals the profound difference between him and his creation, within the heart of God lies a desire for us to join him in his holy existence. With full knowledge of the distance between him and us, the Holy One invites us to experience holiness with him. The very attribute that will bring every human to their knees is meant to also draw us into his arms. The unbelievable and shocking truth of the universe is that our transcendent and perfectly righteous Creator invites us to know him and experience his eternal glory and pure holiness with him. This morning, as we consider the holiness of God, my hope is we are able to increase our awe of the one whom we worship and are drawn into deeper intimacy with him who is holy, holy, holy. It is typically understood that holiness can be seen or viewed in two primary ways. The first is a bit passive, if you will. It is a holiness as a state of being. It's to be set apart, to be uncommon, to be sacred. God, of course, is indeed set apart. He is fully unlike anything else in all of creation. Exodus 15:11, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" There is no one like God. The very essence of God is that he is holy. His very being is holy. He is holy and he is awesome. He is transcendent, is the word we use, in the sense that he is totally beyond us, totally different than us. God didn't create us out of himself. He created us totally outside of himself, you know, totally out of nothing. He didn't take some of what he is and make us. We are totally different than him. He created something brand new when he created his creation. God has no matter. He has no space. He has no body. He is not made with the materials that creation is made with. He is holy. He is set apart. God is totally separate from his creation. He is sacred. He is unique. He's one of a kind. And believe it or not, we too are created holy. We too are set apart, but not in the same way as God is. As just described, God is holy in his very essence, in his very being. He is holy. He cannot not be holy. He is always holy. He can't choose to not be holy at some point and not be separate. He will always and forever be separate and set apart and different. That's the kind of holiness he has. But we are set apart as well. We are holy as well, but our holiness is a contingent holiness. It's a holiness that we enjoy through the one who is holy. 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are a holy people. From our very beginning, God created us uniquely. This reality that each and every one of us is totally different than everyone, or not totally, but we are different than everyone else. We have pieces that are in common. We are made with the same stuff, but we are totally unique in our creation. DNA is unique. Fingerprints are unique. Our personalities are unique. This is where personality tests and attributes, you know, those fall apart, is because you cannot group people into, you know, one of five different types or one of 16 different types. We all are uniquely different in our own way. And this is how God has created us. He has created us as unique individuals, physically unique, spiritually unique, and personally unique. But we receive our set apartness from God. And we are set apart for intimacy with God. The rest of creation, the powerful truth is that the rest of creation, the trees that we see, the rivers and the waters and the oceans, the mountains, the skies, the birds of the air, the animals that walk the land, the bugs that are underneath the ground, right? All of them have been created by God, but they were not created holy. Only humanity has been created to be holy, to be set apart from all of the rest of creation for God. We are holy beings, not intrinsically like God is, but we are holy beings because we are set apart by the one who is holy. We are created conditionally holy. He invites us into holiness. Leviticus 11:44, things are just getting going with the people of God after coming out of Egypt and the law being given. And God says this amazing truth, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy." He invites us in to be holy. Our holiness is dependent, it comes from God, but it is also conditional. We are holy in our creation, but we can choose whether or not we are going to enter into or embrace that holiness or not. We have to make that choice. Make that choice that we want to enjoy the identity of holiness that he gave us. That we would choose to bow to Jesus as Lord so that we could then receive the holiness that we have been created with, that we would be able to enjoy and to live out that holiness that God has designed for us, that he has meant for us. We are holy beings, but we are not holy beings alone. We are only holy when we are united with the Holy One. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We receive the glory of his holiness as we choose to unite with him in suffering as well. So in this first perspective of holiness, it's passive. It's about being. For God, for sure, it's just who he is. He cannot, he can't cease to be holy. He is holy in his being. He is totally set apart. We, on the other hand, we do have a bit of a role to play, but even that is a passive role because we cannot make ourselves holy. We are dependent on the Holy One who, first of all, created us to be holy, but then as we choose to surrender to him, then manifest that holiness in us and through us. God is naturally holy and cannot be unholy. He chose to create people who are set apart to be holy along with him, but whose holiness is contingent on choosing to be with him. The second aspect or perspective or way of kind of viewing holiness is about a moral purity. Holy is to be morally pure, to be righteous. And indeed, God is perfectly righteous and pure. Psalm 11:7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. He always acts in accordance with what is right. This is the God whom we worship. This is the God who created us. He always acts in accordance with what is right. He always thinks, says, and does what is right. And what is right? That which aligns with his character and will. What is his character and will? Some of it. He is love. He is just. He is merciful. He is truthful. He is faithful. These and others are the things that he always acts in accordance with. And because he always acts in accordance with them, he is always right. He is always righteous. In essence, God lives in perfect consistency with his character and will. There's no inconsistencies in him. We don't have to worry about how he's going to respond this time or that time, because he's always going to respond in exact alignment with his who he is, with his character, with his will. He never acts in ways that contradict who he is. Again, the amazing reality of holiness is that God has created us holy. He has created us to be tools of his righteousness. Ephesians 1:4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. This is our destiny. This is what we were created for. Before the beginning of the world, God, when he thought of us, when he thought of humanity, when he thought of people who he was going to create in his creation, he thought of us as being holy and blameless. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for righteousness, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has created us to be holy beings, morally pure beings who are living out the righteousness of God. But again, our holiness, our righteousness, is different than that of God's. God just is naturally righteous. He can't be any other way. God never makes a mistake, and indeed can't make a mistake. But our holiness, our righteousness, is again contingent on the one who is righteous. We cannot be righteous on our own. Indeed, we are not meant to be the righteous one. We are be the ones who the righteous one lives out his righteousness through. We are to be conduits of his righteousness. We are to be instruments for the righteous one to do his will. We are holy, and we are morally pure. Romans 5:19, this amazing reality, for as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. We don't discover righteousness. We don't develop righteousness. It is something that is a gift from God that is given to us the moment we surrender to him. And every moment that we choose to walk in accordance with his will. We are holy and morally pure, but not through our own inspired works of righteousness. Only through Christ living in and through us. Philippians 3:9. and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. It is him living and working through us. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is our source of righteousness. It comes through surrender. It comes through allowing God to live through us. We are created holy, but our holiness is conditional. God offers us his Holy Spirit to motivate us and to empower us to live in righteousness. But again, we must choose. He allows us to say no to the Spirit's work. He allows us to seek righteousness on our own, to try to live it in our own strength. But if we really want to be holy, then we have to surrender. We have to choose to live and walk with the Spirit. We are holy and morally pure, not because of our own efforts to be self-controlled and righteous workers, but only when we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we see that God is indeed holy. And the holiness of God can oftentimes be seen as a separating factor. And indeed it is, in general, a separating factor between him and his creation. But we have a God who desires oneness with us. He desires to share his holiness with us. And so he created us holy, set apart, unique individuals. He created us for righteousness, to do good works that he has laid out for us to do before even time began. But we can only enjoy that holiness when we come to him. And it's amazing, as we do come to him, as we're confronted with the holiness of God, that we indeed find ourselves back on our knees, desperately crying out. God is holy, both in being fully set apart and perfectly righteous. It is this pure holiness that strikes fear in our hearts and drives us to our knees before him. But the shocking truth that changed the world and will change our lives personally is that God invites us to join him in his holiness. Indeed, we are created for it. We too can enjoy the great holiness of God when we accept that he has set us apart and has designed us to be tools of his righteousness for his good pleasure and for ours. This invitation to be one with he who is holy is no more evident than at the table. In Revelations 3:20, while exhorting the Laodicean church out of their lukewarmness, he declares his deep desire for greater intimacy with us. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." To share a meal with a transcendent and glorious King of Kings, who is righteous and just, and who is pure and holy above all others is an unbelievable grace and an awesome privilege. May we accept his offer to dine this morning. And as we do, may we be awed by his holiness and humbled by his amazing grace and goodness. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that the table is meant to be a pure place. The Israelites were not to share a table, a meal, with anyone who was not pure, who was not holy. It was meant to be a place where holy people gathered in oneness. And it's this concept that passes through the Old Testament into the New Testament when Jesus, sitting with his disciples, gave us the communion table, where the unbelievable reality of the New Testament is that the one who is holy invites the unholy to come and to share his table. And as they come, if they come, they are made holy. This morning, as we partake in the communion elements, may these images flash in our mind. May we consider the holiness of God and how great and awesome he truly is. May Revelations 4 and the image there, or even Ezekiel 1 or Daniel 7 or Isaiah 6 or even Acts 9. These real-life human beings who were allowed a peek into the throne room and found themselves flat on their faces, stupefied by what they saw, and then also found this amazing thing like in Ezekiel chapter 2 where the angel reaches down and picks up Ezekiel off the ground, and where in Revelations 3, we are invited in to this holy of holies to enjoy the intimacy of this holy God. Worship team, you can come on up. We have some extra time on purpose at the end of our service this morning, in order to reflect on the holiness of God, but also reflect on his invitation for us to join him in his holiness. And so we're going to partake in communion, and we'll do kind of what is custom now. I'll be in the back at one table, and Glenn will be at the other, and you can come back and receive the elements and then return to your seats. And when you're ready, you can partake of those elements as you feel led by the Lord. And then we will continue and kind of close out our service. It was just a concerted time of worship, responding to God. The reality is, I have found this to be true in my life. The more and more I come face to face with God's holiness, the more I'm driven to my knees in awe, but also the more I praise him and worship him. Because even though this awesome and terrible God who brings terror to my soul at times and drives me to my knees, even though this is the reality of who he is, he invites me to his table. And so I worship him because I know I don't deserve it. And I worship him because he's the only one who does deserve it. And so may we worship him this morning as we partake in the elements and as we sing his praises. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your holiness, that you indeed are like no other. You would be unworthy of our praise if you weren't holy. You'd be unworthy of our lives if you weren't set apart, if you weren't sacred, if you weren't perfectly righteous. Because this is who you are, this is your identity, and this is who you how you behave, this is who you are and how you interact with us. You are holy and worthy of our praise. But Lord, thank you for your amazing grace and mercy, and how you choose to not only create us for holiness, but offer your holiness to us when we come to you. And as we come today to the communion table, to your table, Lord, we come once again choosing to surrender to you, choosing to accept your invitation, not to be ourselves, not to continue our way, not to just add you as a piece of our life, but to allow you to take control. To allow you to totally consume us. As we partake of these elements of the bread and the juice, Lord, consume us. Take us over from the inside out. As we continue to choose each day to join you in your holiness. Come, Lord, and have your way in this room. Speak in Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for this reminder at the beginning of 2025. Lord, I know I need to get on my knees on a regular basis, to be reminded of your great holiness, to be reminded that you're not just someone to pal around with. You love us, and we have an intimate relationship with you, and it's a sweet love relationship, one where we can crawl up on your lap and call you Father. But Lord, we must never lose sight of who you are. And so Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity this new year to start, in essence, on our knees, to exalt your name, to reflect again on your holiness, to encounter your glory and your power, your awesomeness, and be reminded again as the one who has all of that power that you have chosen to invite us into holiness with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to choose you. Lord, it's not just a one-time and done choice. Lord, it is an everyday choice. It's an every moment choice. Lord, I pray that you would help us to choose you more this year than we did last year. That as we are struck by your awesome and holiness, that we would be more in awe of you, but Lord, that we would want to accept your invitation more and more. Give us courage to follow you. Give us strength to accept and receive your invitation. Hebrews 10, 19 and following, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being with us this morning and this new year. We've got our prayer team in the back. We would love to come alongside you and pray. Maybe it's something the Lord brought up that you would like us to join you with from today's service. Maybe it's something that's been going on in your life this week or maybe for some time and you'd just like some prayer. We would love to pray for you.